It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Boy, it seems like every time we've gone to a snow day segment for the past 3 weeks, we've been in the midst of a snow day, and today's going to be another example of that. Just a reminder that we're recording the program on Thursday. We're making a connection with Jessica Miller up at Park City. As we speak, I'm guessing you're getting snow up there right now, aren't you?
Actually, Tim, it's kind of a bluebird, half bluebird at least right now, but I see some clouds coming, so fingers crossed it'll deliver the goods for the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, the weather can change so quickly up here, you really never know.
Well, by the time this interview airs, they're talking about 1 to 3 inches in the valleys and another foot up in the mountain areas, which I know you guys won't be sad about. Matter of fact, you guys must have been experiencing quite a bit of joy over the last couple of weeks, finally.
Oh, man, Tim, we are so excited about all the new snow. I think we must have had to earn it at the beginning of the season, just with all the work that went into getting the mountain ready and snowmaking and grooming, and we have been enjoying the goods the past few weeks. Lots of hooting and hollering. You can really feel the energy on the mountain. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You and I were talking yesterday, and you were mentioning that it's impossible to see smiles behind all of the masks, but you certainly can't mistake the hoops and the hollers that are going on. Navi and I have experienced that as we're on the lifts. You can hear people that are just living it up in that new powder.
Oh, it's so true. I know we're all in our face coverings, but you can feel the energy. I think the smiling with your eyes is a real thing, as well as the hooting and hollering. But you know it's a powder day when you're hearing some yells across the mountains, some excited laughs, and we've been feeling a lot of that energy the past few weeks. And it's pretty incredible to have that pick me up at the end of February and head into spring skiing.
Yeah, particularly with what happened to us a year ago when the rug got pulled out from underneath all of us. I think it's also a time to sing the praises, and we have been doing this on this program every week, but sing the praises of the groomers and the people that work the mountain all night while we're sleeping and getting ready for the next day of play, because you really have done the best with what Mother Nature has provided up to this point.
Oh, it's so true, Tim. Our mountain operations team is, I mean, simply the best. Not to be cheesy there, but they've been working so hard all early season to make snow, to groom the trails, to really make sure that we provide an incredible experience for everyone. Even though Mother Nature might not have delivered as much early season, our teams have been hard at work, and really they're the true heroes of the season, showing up and creating such a great experience so we can all be outside and enjoy the mountains and have a little break from, I would say, working from home or being inside. So we're excited for the snow for their sake, and really, really excited for the rest of the season.
How much of the mountain is open now? That was one of the challenges for us every time we'd go up, my wife and I. We'd look and say, oh, there's one of our favorite runs. We just can't get access to it yet. Is the entire mountain open right now?
Yes, so we're pretty much fully open. There's a few areas of terrain like Pinecone Ridge that's south-facing that is not open currently, but 42 lifts running. We're grooming a little over 125 runs a night, which is pretty fantastic. I think bigger than some ski resorts just with our groomed terrain. And then our advanced areas of terrain like Jupiter Peak, 9990, Condor, all of those areas are open now, offering some really great powder skiing. And you're still finding powder stashes, even on sunnier days like this. If you find a glade or that little corner that's been untouched, you can still find a little bit of fresh powder, and hopefully this weekend we'll see a little bit more of that.
I'll tell you the other thing I've been amazed about, even with the lack of snow, natural snow coming, was that the mountain operations folks found a way and a means to still build one of the most famous half pipes in the world.
You're right, Tim. Our terrain parks are open. We have a half pipe and a mini pipe at the mountain. Three Kings offers some great access to a few of our terrain parks over at the Park City Mountain Village. And for those of you who might not be professional skiers, I know we have a lot of Olympians up here, but if you're a beginner terrain parker like me, Little Kings is the way to go. There's a lot of fun jumps there, fun to take the kids or fully grown adults like myself. Really great way to like dab your toe into the terrain parks world, but that's super fun. And like you said, we have our half pipe and a few other terrain parks across the resort. That's just a nice way to mix things up and I don't know, try out some new skills, I'd say.
Navi and I were talking about this yesterday, the fact that kids now on a daily basis in those parks are doing things that guys used to compete internationally and win medals with, and now they do it now they're doing it like no big deal.
It's the next generation of Olympians. I think every time I ride Eagle Lift Up, you can see some of the folks in the terrain park, and I'm amazed by what they can do. I get excited if I get like a couple inches of air off a little jump on the mountain. But those guys are awesome, and it's really fun to see.
It's fun to watch if they're not your own child. I wonder sometimes
if
that was my son or daughter, how would I feel about, you know, trying to land the triple backflip or something?
No thanks. I'll watch the strangers all day long.
We're getting ready to go into spring here. I know there may not be fantastic news when it comes to spring because some of the same health ordinances are still going to be in place. So some of your springtime activities are still going to be curtailed.
That's right, Tim. So normally this is the beginning of our big spring celebration time where we have concerts and outdoor apres, pond skim, all of those things to kind of roll us out into the end of the season. Unfortunately, due to COVID, we won't be doing our normal scheduled programming of public outdoor events. That said, spring skiing is still going to be incredible. You can still get wine and beer on the mountain. It might be prepackaged, but it's still here. And we're really excited to roll in the rest of the season, enjoy some of the longer days, the spring skiing. And you know what? Never discount March. I think we always get a few rogue storms coming through, so still a lot of great skiing to be had.
Well, March statistically is still the snowiest month in the state of Utah. We hope that holds up for this year.
Me too.
Yeah. We did a little opry the last time we were up at the resort, and we were actually sitting outside right there at the base on the canyon side, and I was actually encouraged by the number of people that were doing it, and those that were not eating were following the protocols. And we really need to give a pat on the back to all the skiers out there that have done what needs to be done to make sure this season continues all the way through closing day.
Thanks for bringing that up, Tim. I think we're really all in this together. It takes everyone's vigilance day after day. Our staff is working hard to enforce masks, to make sure people are physically distancing. But when it comes down to it, it's everyone's personal responsibility. And people are doing a great job. We so appreciate keeping your mask up over your nose and mouth, making sure there's no holes or vents in your mask, and everyone just doing their part so we can make sure we have a full season to the end of it and we all stay safe together. So thanks to everyone for the commitment. And like you said, there's still après ski. You can make a reservation to come up and eat in one of our lodges. Just open the Epic Mix app, go to dining, and our new Time to Dine system will set you right up there. So a little more tools just to plan your day. But the experience is amazing, and we're so lucky to be outside and enjoying what we love.
Oh, you're so right about that. That one part of our life has at least felt normal, that we could go up and not just get the exercise, but get the fresh air, have some social distancing, and yet find some joy. And it sort of gives you the boost that you need when you come back home to deal with the restrictions that you may be having at work or elsewhere with things you wanted to do down here in the valley.
Yeah, I mean, you said it right there, Tim. I wake up and every day I'm so grateful to live up here in Park City. You have the outdoor access, and I think the energy and excitement just to still be up in the mountains and balance that with everything else going on in the world is really awesome, and it's a nice thing that we can all enjoy together.
One final note, and that is that reservations are required, and it looks like they will be through the end of the season here.
That's right, Tim. So if you want to come ski, you do have to have a reservation in advance. If you are an Epic Pass holder, you can just log on, make it up to the day of if there's availability. And then if you're purchasing a ticket, when you purchase that ticket for the day you want to ski, your reservation is included in that. So just a little pre-planning before you come up. And then, like I said, you can reserve a time to dine at one of our lodges and then come up and really enjoy the full experience from start to finish. But we're fortunate to be up skiing. The reservation system has been working well, and we'll continue that throughout the end of the year.
Park City Mountain.
At the end of the season.
Yeah. Jessica Miller, thank you as always.
Thanks, Tim. ParkCityMountain.com. Appreciate everyone.
We'll take one more quick break and we'll come back. Finish out the program next here on KSL.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
As we wrap up the program today, I did want to take a couple of minutes to let you know of an event that's coming up at Soldier Hollow. They'll be hosting the IBU Biathlon World Cup, and we'll give you all the specifics on that coming up in a minute. But first, I wanted to get the head of the biathlon program there at Soldier Hollow on with us. His name is Zach Hall, but before we talk about the event, tell everybody where you are and what you're up to today.
Well, I am in southern Austria, a little town called Obertiliac, and I'm here for the Youth and Junior World Championships.
Fantastic. That's a spot in the world I haven't had a chance to see. We had a Harley-Davidson tour planned for Europe that began in Austria last summer that got upended by COVID.
Wow.
We're hoping to be there in August of this year. Fingers crossed. It's a beautiful place, I know.
Yeah, it is. It is gorgeous. The mountains here are amazing, and they've just got a great winter going. So we're excited to be here, and first races for our athletes are actually tomorrow. So we're getting geared up for that. We've got the IBU, so the International Biathlon Union World Cup, will be coming back to Utah in 2024. And in the interim between then and now, actually 1 year out, we get to host the Youth and Junior World Championships. So we couldn't be more thrilled to have the IBU biathlon family coming back to visit us in Utah.
Well, and I'm hoping this is because we did such a darn good job of hosting the 2002 Olympics, and the venues were world class. And it really is a testament, again, to how the Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation has been able to keep our venues not just up and operating, but being a major part of international competition.
Absolutely. You know, it's the Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation is really focused on keeping these venues at a world-class level. And it's a testament to the job they're doing that not only are we getting to have these big events come back, but we also have athletes who are able to get involved in kind of somewhat obscure sports like bobsled and biathlon and actually take it to a really high level.
Soldier Hollow is one of the places, one of the venues that my entire family got a chance to go and watch some of the Olympic competition while I was busy working downtown at Metals Plaza and doing some NBC work in 2002. We gave it a try, actually.
Oh,
when,
wow.
When we were up in Canada, they took us on the old Olympic course up there. And if you've never strapped on the skis and, you know, gone as fast as you can cross-country style and then laid down on your belly and tried to hit targets with a gun, it's not as easy as it looks.
It is an incredibly challenging and thrilling sport to be part of. I mean, it's fascinating to be an athlete kind of at whatever level. And it is there's a reason it's the most widely televised winter sport in Europe. People love it. It's like the NASCAR of winter sports.
You're involved over there with the youth, and it is the IBU youth event that's going to be coming here. Talk for a minute about how important it is that we are getting such participation from the youth, and how does the U.S. figure into this? Do we have a lot of interest on the U.S. side, hopefully helped by 2002?
We do. You know, 5 years ago, we had the opportunity. I got to be part of basically re-kicking off biathlon at Soldier Hollow, and so we started rebuilding that venue. And we have programs now for kids as young as 10 years old to start shooting, and they can start skiing, of course, much earlier than that. And I'll say, you know, it's a very exciting time. The event that I'm currently attending, we have several athletes here who are from Utah, so Salt Lake City, Park City, and then the Heber Valley. And it's, you know, it's just been a handful of years working with those athletes to get them to that level, and we feel really fortunate to have a representation here. And then, of course, you know, looking down the line, this event will, in just 1 year, be in Utah. And then those athletes, of course, as juniors, you know, if they keep training, then they become seniors. And, you know, wouldn't it be fantastic to have some Utah athletes racing in 24 at the World Cup?
Absolutely. And maybe this is a curveball question, but is it easier to take a good skier and make them a good shooter, or a good shooter and put skis on their feet?
Boy, you know, that's one that that we coaches and et cetera kick back and forth. But generally the conclusion is if you get a good skier, you can teach them to shoot in 1 to 2 years. You know, it takes a bit longer than that really to master the nuance of some of the marksmanship. But we say, you know, give it a good 2 years as an athlete if you've got the skiing background, and you can tell if you've got a future in the sport.
Yeah. Well, again, trying to control your breathing and have a steady hand with the clock rolling on you while you're trying to hit targets. It's more of a challenge than anybody might know. But what an honor. The IBU Biathlon World Cup event coming back March 4th through March 10th, 2024, but a year from now. The IBU Youth and Junior World Championships will be coming here February 21st through March 2nd, a year from now, actually. Zach, we appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us, and enjoy your time over there in Austria.
Thanks so much. It's great being with you.
That'll do it for the show. Stay with us. Coming up after the top of the hour, ABC News. Of course, it's time for the Greenhouse. We'll turn it over to Maria and Tom next, and I'll be back with you Monday morning starting at 5 with Utah's Morning News.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.